Hello, and welcome to the Colcast. My name is Chris Collins. I am your host. This is episode six, and it has been a thoroughly entertaining weekend of fights, loads of news, loads of happenings, another couple of events coming up this weekend, big events, all around busy week, to be honest. I apologise if I sound even more monotone than usual. I've picked up a flu from somewhere. I don't know what's happening, but I can't breathe out of my nose. I feel like shit. I sound like shit. But hopefully it won't be a shit podcast, because of it. So if you hear any heavy breathing out of my mouth, if you hear me sounding a bit more bunged up and nasal than usual, I apologise. That is why. I've caught a bug from somewhere. Someone's given me something, but we plough on. Adversity. I'm sure we'll get through it. Short podcast today. I'm going to do what I did last week. I'm going to split it into two, because there's loads going on this week and there's loads that happened over the last weekend. So this podcast this morning, we will be focusing on what has happened over the last weekend. So I'm just going to go into a bit of quick analysis on the ONE FC event. Obviously, we had Bellator 209 over the weekend as well, and UFC Buenos Aires, the UFC card from Argentina that was headlined by Santiago Ponzinibbio and Neil Magny. So without further ado, we'll quickly get into the ONE FC card that happened on Friday night, Saturday morning. That was ONE FC Warriors Dream. Last week, I broke down the two fights really that I thought were worth sort of looking into. Very average card otherwise, but the headliner, we'll go into that first. So obviously you had Sebastian Caristam against Tyler Maguire. I did think that Tyler Maguire would grind out a decision on this one. I was wrong. Very entertaining fight, quite competitive in parts. Sebastian Caristam, though, picking up the stoppage late on, knocking out Maguire in round five. Really impressed with Caristam. Really, really impressed. Like I say, I thought Tyler Maguire was going to use his superior grappling and wrestling here and sort of grind out a, not boring, but a workmanlike decision. But, you know, Caristam, he showed good takedown defence at times. He looked good in getting back to his feet sometimes, and or staying on his feet rather. And, you know, a lot of the fight, he made Maguire fight on his terms. Just slowly started to pick up the pace for the rounds, and then obviously in round five managed to get the stoppage. So really impressed with Caristam. He is the new champion over there at welterweight, and he's going to take some stopping, I think, at that weight class. Obviously, you don't have Ben Askren around in that weight class anymore now, so a couple of guys in mind who I think might be next for him, but it'd be interesting to see what ONE FC decides what's next. Aside from that, really, really impressed with Caristam. Really, really sort of not the most impressive performance in the world, but still impressive at the same time. The fact that he managed to pick up the knockout and very late as well against a very tough guy in Maguire. So props to Caristam. He is the new 170-pound champion over there, the new welterweight champion. The only other fight on the card to make note of, really, is the Super Series fight between Nicky Holskin, Cosmo Alexandre. I did think that Nicky Holskin was going to pick up a decision win in this. He proved me wrong. He won by knockout in the second round, and it was nasty. Got Alexandre up against the fence and just dropped him. Really, really nasty knockout. Return to winning ways for Nicky Holskin. You know, I went into detail on Nicky Holskin last week. He's an animal. He's such a slick striker. So, you know, superb strings together, like unbelievable combinations. Has power, has speed, has accuracy. Everything you'd want in a top level striker. And I did think he was going to be too much for Alexandre here. And you know, he's just gone to prove me right by picking up the nasty knockout in the second. So congratulations to Nicky Holskin there. He progresses there. And that's all that that's all she wrote, really, with the ONE FC card. Some entertaining fights elsewhere on the card. You know, you had the likes of Lazilla picking up a win in the kickboxing as well. But, you know, altogether, a decent card. Top two fights on there. Kadastam and Holskin both winning by knockout. Bellator 209, that was the event that happened, the big Bellator event that happened this weekend, that was headlined by Patricio Pitbull Ferrer and Emmanuel Sanchez. I was right in the fact that it was a super, super close fight. I felt like it was going to be. I thought, you know, Emmanuel Sanchez, two stoppages in his last two fights, he's on the up. You know what you're getting with Patricio. He's super, super talented, world-class fighter over there in Bellator. Always game, always tough. I did think Emmanuel Sanchez was going to nab a decision here, but it was actually Pitbull that picked up the majority decision. Tremendously close fight. Both fighters showing shades of brilliance in parts, back and forth. You know, Sanchez on top at times, Pitbull on top at times. But I think ultimately watching the fight back, it's fair. I did think that Pitbull won the fight. I scored it 3-2. You can't be annoyed with a judge going the other way and saying, you know, Sanchez or it was a draw. I think a draw might have been not an unfair result. You know, I feel for Sanchez. Tough go. He was battered afterwards. I believe he had to go to hospital. He was a tough fight for him, but he gave it everything in there against, you know, a fighter in Pitbull. He was world class and has beaten some of the best that Bellator's ever had on the roster. So super, super close. I don't think it'll be long until you see Sanchez back in a title fight. If not in his next fight, to be honest, I'd watch a rematch. But for Pitbull, you know, the legacy continues. The legacy continues over in Bellator. Another great win for him. Another solid name to add to his resume. And we'll see what's next for Pitbull now. You know, there's a bit like Kadastam in ONE FC. There's a couple of guys who I think might be next for him there. So be interesting to see what Bellator want to do with him going forward. The co-main, Ryan Couture and Ghazali. Pretty much how I thought it was going to go. Unanimous decision for Ryan Couture. Semi-entertaining fight. The very workmanlike decision from Couture. He's just younger and fresher, basically. Used his smarts, tried not to go into dangerous positions with Ghazali in terms of the grappling, looked better on the feet. Just that's pretty much all I can say about it, really, to be honest. Disappointing for Ghazali, you know, that the event was in Tel Aviv, the first time in Bellator, I believe, that you've had a father and son fighting on the card. He had his younger son fight and win on the card earlier that night by submission. It would have been nice for him to round that off and win his fight also, but always going to be tough against a younger fighter and a veteran like Ryan Couture, someone who's been in there with some great fighters and has picked up loads of experience over his career, and had the mental advantage as well, having picked up a win over Ghazali this time last year as well. So, you know, it was always going to be tough for Ghazali, but he put in a good effort, and, you know, we'll wait to see what's next for him. For Couture, you know, a decision win over Ghazali, it's not going to get him a huge bump up in competition, so I'd expect to see him get a semi-decent opponent again in his next fight, and we'll see if he can make one last run towards the top over there in Bellator. Big surprise of the night for me, or the biggest surprise on the Bellator card, Vadim Nemkov picking up the split decision win over Phil Davis. Massively, massively impressed by Nemkov. I thought Phil Davis, to be honest, was just going to dominate him. Looking at it on paper, the opponents that they faced, the previous performances, that the form they were going into the fight in. You know, I know Nemkov picked up a big win last time out, but Phil Davis has looked great recently. The only time he's been beaten the last few years is by Ryan Bader. Apart from that, you know, no one's been able to beat him. And Nemkov really did make it a grueling, hard fight. Landed some impressive takedowns at times. You know, the suplex that he landed was unbelievable, and you think he was doing it to Phil Davis. Phil Davis, obviously, fantastic wrestling pedigree. And yeah, you're supremely, supremely impressed with Nemkov. I'll be honest with you, I think the title fight's next for him. I don't know who else he can face now in order to solidify a number one contender spot, to be honest. I think the title shot has to be next for him. I think that's what Bellator will give him once everything's wrapped up with Bader and Fedor in the heavyweight Grand Prix early next year. I think that'll be the next thing for him. For Phil Davis, you know, not so much back to the drawing board. Super close fight. Split decision. He's not going to go too far backwards. The problem with Phil Davis is he's already faced a lot of the top names in and around the top of 205. So it could be another rematch against one of those guys next for him. I don't know, to be honest. It'd be hard to speculate now. Again, it'd be interesting to see what Bellator's thinking. I don't think they'll want to move him too far away either, because he's one of the bigger names over there. He's one of the more marketable fighters over there, especially at 205. So I think they'll put him in another number one contenders fight, and I think you'll see him still hanging around title contention. Olga Rubin picked up a huge unanimous decision win over Cindy Dandois. Cindy Dandois, obviously a veteran, has been in there with some of the best at women's bantamweight / featherweight. And Rubin just looked dominant all the way through. I did think Dandois was going to have too much, to be honest, and too much experience, but Rubin proved me wrong, displayed some nasty striking at times. And she's going to be another solid addition over there at 135, I think, at Bellator. Some interesting fights potentially in the waiting for her. So really looking forward to seeing Rubin again next time out. With Cindy Dandois, it's going to be interesting. I think this is the last you'll ever see her again now facing any sort of elite fighter. You know, a bit of a crossroads fight for Cindy, because Rubin's not, she could be an elite fighter, we don't know about, but at this stage now she's not. She's someone that very few people have heard of, and obviously to be beaten as soundly as she was will be disappointing. There's no other way of saying it. It is literally back to basics for her, back to the drawing board, start from scratch and build your way back up. But I think that's the end of, I think that's the last you see of Cindy Dandois mentioned as any sort of elite fighter over there in that division. So disappointing for Dandois. Great win for Rubin, like I say, great addition to that Bellator roster there, and we'll see what's next for her. And the start of that card, the main card at Bellator 209, I thought Sidornikov, aka Baby Fedor, was a shoo-in for the win here. I really did think he was just going to dominate Adam Koresh, and Adam Koresh ended up knocking him out in one with a huge kick. I think it lasted about a minute and 20 seconds. Big win against someone who had a tiny bit of hype coming in to Bellator as well in Baby Fedor. You know, they've got a star there, potentially. I know Bellator like to do these events sometimes in the likes of Israel and stuff. You've got a very marketable star there, someone who clearly has knockout power, someone who's, you know, going to be, I think, a staple of these Israeli Middle Eastern cards going forward. Someone you could potentially use as a co-main or headliner next time out. So, big win-win. Sorry, can't talk at all today. Big win-win for Bellator, this one, with Adam Koresh. Hugely marketable. Not the worst-looking guy in the world. Quite well-spoken from what I've seen from him. And obviously could become a breakout star for that region. So, fantastic win. Unlucky Baby Fedor. I think his record goes to 11-6 now. Not the greatest record in the world, but I'm sure with some of the names in that division over there in Bellator, I'm sure he can pick up a win next time out. So we'll look to see what they want to do with Baby Fedor. The big card of the weekend was obviously the UFC Buenos Aires card, the one coming live from Argentina, headlined by the Argentinian superstar, welterweight Santiago Ponzinibbio. And he looked absolutely fantastic against Neil Magny. He pretty much did. I thought it was going to be a close decision, to be honest. I could see Santiago, you know, landing heavy leather early on, and then Neil Magny's cardio start to take over later in the fight. What I didn't foresee, but I'm not surprised by, is the fact that Santiago came in, you know, superbly conditioned. landing those heavy shots, landing heavy leg kicks all the way throughout. He just took Neil's cardio away from him, to be honest. He took his legs out from underneath him. And by the end of, you know, the middle to the end of the third round, it was looking like a matter of time, wasn't it? And, you know, eventually he landed that big right hand up against the fence, dropped Magny, pretty much face planted him, and that was that. Huge win in front of his hometown crowd. And, you know, he's got a ticket to the big show now, Santiago Ponzinibbio. He has to fight a top five name next time out. You look at the top five, obviously you've got the champion Tyron Woodley. I don't think he deserves that title shot yet. I think he needs to beat a big name, big marquee name. You've obviously got Robbie Lawless tied up with Ben Askren. Wonderboy is available as far as I know. You've got Darren Till available as far as I know. There's a couple of options there. If I was gonna say one, I would probably say Wonderboy. You know, Wonderboy is one of those fighters where he's not a gatekeeper. You know, I wouldn't say a gatekeeper's anyone at that top end of the division. I'd say a gatekeeper's more someone who's like a gatekeeper to the top 15. Someone who, if you beat them, you get a top 15 guy. But there's certainly one thing that we know about Wonderboy. Wonderboy beats everyone, yeah, who is not Tyron Woodley or Darren Till. That's what we've seen out the last few years from him. So if you beat Wonderboy, you're there. You're a number one contender. You're ready. You know, Wonderboy, super, super close fights with Tyron Woodley, the champion. Super, super close fight with Darren Till. Day of the only fights he's lost in the past God knows how many years, since Matt Brown beat him a long time ago. I think that's the next fight to make, to be honest. I think it'd be a good, you know, fight night headliner, or maybe a solid addition to a main card of a pay-per-view. But that's the sort of fight that Ponzinibbio needs now to see if he's ready for Tyron Woodley, to see if he's ready to challenge for the title. He's obviously on a 7-fight win streak now. He's picked up two good wins in his last two fights against Gunnar Nelson and Neil Magny, both knockouts, both finishes, super impressive. So, you know, let's see what he can do against a top five name. For Neil Magny, tough loss this, really tough loss. Neil Magny tends to struggle against guys who have similar kind of reach to him, guys with a lot of power who can keep up that output all the way through the fight, don't sort of gas out. It would be interesting to see what goes on with Magny. Obviously, Magny's been a super active guy over the last few years and he's faced a lot of the top 15 because of it. I would give him a top 15 name next. I'd just start him again. You know, see if he can make another run to the title. The thing about Neil Magny is he always looks like he's added a few wrinkles to his game every time we see him. So, you know, he's still improving. Even though he's bobbing on a little bit now in fighting years, he's still improving. He's still got time to make another run. So, you know, let's not give him something too big in his next fight. Let's give him a chance to bounce back. That's what I do with Neil Magny. So a top 15 name potentially. You've got the likes of like Gunnar Nelson hanging around and fighters like this who aren't 100% assigned to any fight at the moment. So, you know, give him a Gunnar Nelson or someone else along those lines in the top 15 at welterweight, and let's see if he can bounce back. Ricardo Lamas and Darren Elkins was the next fight on the card. Ricardo Lamas looking great. I thought Elkins, to be honest, with his recent form and with Lamas having a couple of tough losses recently, I thought Elkins would be able to grind this out. But, you know, Ricardo Lamas looked back to his old ways in this one, picking up the TKO in the third round. Big, big win for Lamas. Big crossroads fight for him. I think if he would have lost to Elkins, it would have been the last you've heard of Lamas as a top contender as well. But, you know, this one puts him back up there at 145. I think a top five name for him next would be the smartest thing, just to see if he can maybe force his way back into title contention. For Darren Elkins, you know, Lamas, he's been at the top of that division for a long, long time. It shouldn't set him back too far. Darren Elkins should still be sticking around the top 10, and expect to see him against a top 10 guy next time round. Johnny Walker, fantastic addition to the light heavyweight division. He demolished Khalil Rountree Jr. looked great early on, showed fantastic head movement, landed a nice head kick, moved it very swiftly into the clinch, and as soon as he got it there, a couple of short, sharp elbows, and that was that. At 6 foot six, you know, he's a big, big boy for the weight class. I've not seen anyone that big at light heavyweight in a long time, or that tall at least. I just hope the UFC don't rush him. You know, they potentially got a star there. I'd like to see him get someone else along the lines of a Khalil Roundtree Jr. next time out. Someone of that sort of ability. If they were to move him up, I don't want him to move him up too much. You know, just build him up gently. Let's see if he can just build it up slowly and maybe make a run towards the top. Because, you know, 205's thin and they do need stars in there. So if I was going to give him a fighter next, if they really did want to give him a bump up in competition, maybe someone like someone who could test him with the grappling, maybe like a Jean Valente. If not someone maybe even lower than that. I don't even think I'd give him a top 15 guy at this point. Just, I really do hope the UFC sees him, thinks, you know, we definitely got a star in the making here. Someone with vicious striking, quite a good looking chap. He's come from Dana White's Contender Series, so he's had a bit of limelight already. Let's just build him up slowly, give him maybe a top 20 guy. Let's see if we can pick up another couple of knockouts, and then once more fans know about him, that's when we can start giving him the bigger names. There was a couple of changes to the card. Obviously, Renato Moicano and Mirsad Bektic fell foul to injury, and that fight never happened. So you saw Ian Heinisch against Cesar Ferreira on the card. Muchant was obviously supposed to pick up the win here. Heinisch, you know, obviously thought otherwise and picked up what was a very impressive unanimous decision. You know, landed nasty strikes all the way through, particularly that overhand right that he landed that dropped Cesar. He looked good. He looked really, really good. He's another solid addition to the roster. Again, I wouldn't rush him too much or give him any top names. But he definitely looked fantastic against Cesar. And, you know, Cesar's a bit of a frustrating one at times. Super, super talented. Was touted as, you know, like the next Vitor Belfort. When he wins, he looks fantastic. When he loses, he really doesn't. But he looked competitive in this fight, Ferreira. He looked good at times. And it wasn't a super, super close fight. But, you know, it was 29-28 and a couple of scorecards. I couldn't understand that. I could see Mutant's been given one round, and I don't think he should drop too far in his next one. You know, he did put up as good a showing as he could, but the real story here is how impressive that Heinisch looked. So, yeah, you've got one there in Heinisch, and it'll be good to see him fighting next. I'll be super interested to see how he looks in his next fight. Marlon Vera against Guido Canetti. Canetti had Marlon Vera in all sorts of trouble in the first round. Marlon Vera obviously came back strong in the second, winning that fight by rear naked choke. Set it up beautifully as well, landing nasty knees up against the fence, getting him down and choking him out. I thought Vera would have too much quality for Canetti, to be honest. I was quite surprised with how aggressive Canetti came out in the first round. You know, nearly had him. Couple of tight submission attempts. Really unlucky, Canetti. He looked better than I thought he was going to look. And maybe not as ordinary as I thought he was. I think he rose to the level of his competition here, albeit he came up short in the second. So I don't think he should fall too far. For Vera, you know, I think he needs another guy along the lines of a Canetti to start building him up to the top 15. Like I say, he was nearly finished in the first round. A bit of a struggle getting out those first 5 minutes. So, good win. Came back from adversity, picked up the finish in the second. He'll be pleased with his night's work. Last fight on the card, on the main card, Cynthia Calvillo against Battaglio. Calvillo, she dominated the news this week with the weight cutting. Obviously, that video of her missing weight on the scales, looking like absolute shit. I'll get into it in my second podcast later this week. We'll talk about news stories from the week. You know, this has got to fucking stop. The weight cutting drama has got to fucking stop. It's going to carry on until someone dies. Someone's going to fucking die from a really bad botched weight cut. And that's going to be the point where, you know, all these coaches and trainers and these weight cutting gurus and weight management people, then they'll be like, oh shit, like, you know, we fucked up. And not to overswear, or it winds me up. It's just unnecessary, like really unnecessary. If she's struggling to make the weight that bad, move her up. Simple. Move her up. There's no excuse. Why sacrifice your health? And it's even worse, for it's harder for women to cut the weight as well. Obviously, if you've got any idea about women's anatomy and women's physiology, you know it's harder for women to cut the weight, and it gets harder and harder with every single weight cut because the body resists it. So when you see Cynthia Calvillo, I don't know if it was just a one-off, it's just a bad weight cut this time, but when you see her stepping onto the scale, looking like that, she can't even stand on her own 2 feet. What are we doing? Like, what are we doing? It's just dangerous. And if she's that dehydrated and she takes a bad punch the next night, she gets knocked out and she picks up, you know, brain trauma that she can't reverse, damage to her brain, like, it's just really poor. I don't like to see it. I'm not saying anything that's not been said before. I'm not reinventing the wheel, but regardless, you know, she got away with it this time. She picked up a rear naked choke win in the first round. She looked good. She managed to get the weight back on. How safely, I don't know, but she picked up a good win. If she's going to stay at this weight, she needs to cut weight better next time. She needs to have better guidance from her coaches, and they need to be managing that more properly. But like I say, I'll get into that, if I can even get into that any further. I've just gone off on a rant there, I apologise. But we'll get into that later on in the week when I go over the news stories, my second podcast. I'm supposed to be just talking about the result here. The result is she picked up a very quick rear naked choke win, looking dominant. You know, she is potentially a star in that division. She had a rough go out the last time she fought against Carla Esparza. But Carla Esparza is a top, top name, an elite fighter in that division. There was no shame in losing to Esparza in a close fight the way she did. So she's bounced back and she looked very good doing it. Elsewhere on the card, not really much to write home about. Just wanted to mention Prezares. Obviously, he fought for Fabinski and he looked like a demon. Won the fight in a minute by guillotine choke. And just from the bell, he was just all over Bartosz Fabinski. You know, had him up against the fence, just wore him down. And Fabinski, by the end, you know, I think he was just tapping for mercy, to be honest. I don't think he wanted to be in there anymore. Prezares definitely needs a step up in competition next time out. He looked really, really good. One of the more impressive performances of the night for me. And from a standpoint for UK fans, you might have recognised one of the names on the prelim card. Anderson Dos Santos, who was defeated by our very own Nadna Rahmani. Nadna Rahmani, obviously a former standout over at Cage Warriors, picking up a win in his last fight at Cage Warriors against the Paddy Pimblett, Scow superstar. Stepped over to the UFC, won his first fight earlier this year, and has now picked up a second win, picking up the win by unanimous decision over Anderson Dos Santos. So a really, really good start to his UFC career. Really excited to see Nadna Rahmani next time out. You know, he's I can't think of the last time we had a UK star from Bristol, you know, southwest in England. I can't think of too many fighters that come out of Bristol. So he's representing the city well. He's representing us very, very well. He's representing himself outstandingly. He picked up two good wins against two solid opponents, and I believe he needs a step up in competition in his next fight now, just to see if he's really ready for the big boys over at the UFC. Really impressed. Congratulations to Nadna Rahmani, picking up a very dominant unanimous decision win. And that's it for this episode. Like I said, just a quick recap of all the events over the weekend. I will release another podcast later in the week, just going over the news stories, what's been happening in the last 7 days or so, and breaking down the big events this weekend. The top two obviously being the big veterans face-off between Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell. That's their third fight.
that's being put on by Golden Boy Promotions. So we'll have a look at that fight. And obviously, from a UFC standpoint, we've got Curtis Blaydes and Francis Ngannou, the rematch, coming out of Beijing. So we'll have a look at that card as well, and all the big fights on that card. And that is it. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Hope you listen to this on your commute to work. I am Chris Collins. I have been your host. Very happy to do so. Episode 6 of the Colcast. As always, please like, share, subscribe to the podcast. Tell all your friends about it. If you've got any MMA or fight fans, let them know what's going on. Let them know there's a new show in town. If you've got any feedback for me, any comments, any suggestions, please just slide into my DMs. Facebook, Twitter or Instagram, like you all have been doing already. Up to nearly 200 listeners of the podcast altogether now, which is huge for me. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to what I've got to say about MMA and the fight game. To find us on Twitter and Instagram, we are at The Colcast. On Facebook, it's Cole's Conclusions, although I'm going to change that soon, but for now it's Cole's Conclusions. Like I say, please like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about me, tell your friends about the show, and I look forward to speaking to you all later in the week. Goodbye.